It can be assumed that even the control patients were being prayed for by friends and family and clergy, and most, if not all, were probably praying for themselves. And I noted all these problems and more in my critique of that study, which appeared in the spring 1990 issue of Free Inquiry magazine. A few years later, in December 1993, I received a telephone call from a producer with the NBC program Now, which no longer exists. It was absorbed into Dateline. She was working on a story about Dr. Dossie, the author of Healing Words. And search for additional proof of the efficacy of distant prayer had been spurred on by the study by Dr. Bird. And in the book, Dr. Dossie cites briefly my Free Inquiry critique of Dr. Bird's study, which is why the producer wanted me as the skeptic for the story that she was putting together. I had never heard of Dr. Dossie. I'd never heard of the book. It was soon to become a bestseller, but at the time it wasn't yet. So anyway, she FedExed the book to me, and she requested that I get back with her within a week or so with some sound bites, some things I would feel comfortable saying on camera on the show. And according to my talk that I wrote many months ago and wasn't motivated to rewrite after I heard he wouldn't be here, I say that I feel just as comfortable making those sound bites here in his presence. Turn to Dr. Dossie. That's what it says. So let me just read you the five sound bites that I sent to her. Number one. I was surprised to see how critical Dossie himself was of Dr. Bird's study. In fact, he found several shortcomings that even I hadn't appreciated. Now, at that point, I expected that provocative comment to be followed by either Dr. Dossie or the narrator of the story to enumerate some of the problems that Dr. Dossie himself mentioned about the Bird study. Soundbite number two. Curiously, in spite of his own skepticism of the study's results, Dossie writes, quote, "If the technique being studied had been a new drug or a surgical procedure instead of prayer, it would almost certainly have been heralded as some sort of quote-unquote breakthrough," end quote. Well, perhaps so if the claim had been something fairly mundane. But when a researcher claims to have proven something supernatural, that's another story. Remember the media hype over cold fusion a few years ago. The scientific community quite properly maintained an extremely skeptical attitude. And of course, that supernatural claim seems to have been imaginary. That was my soundbite number two. Number three, Dossie also says, quote, "Even some hard-boiled skeptics agreed at the time of the publication of Bird's study, on the significance of the study's findings," end quote. But that just goes to show that even skeptics are sometimes not skeptical enough. There's a generally accepted principle in science that the more extraordinary the claim, the more extraordinary the proof required to support it. And not only is that degree of proof lacking in this study, it seems lacking in every study of prayer to date. Soundbite four that I submitted. Dossie builds his case largely upon anecdotes and the work of parapsychologists and appears to accept their supernatural claims at face value. This is very dangerous. Almost invariably, when quote-unquote hard-boiled skeptics, as Dr. Dossie calls us, dissect parapsychology studies, or when the parapsychologists call in skeptics to oversee their experimental procedures to make absolutely certain that no cheating can occur, their findings evaporate. And lastly, soundbite number five, Dossie says, quote, "We do not know how spiritual healing works. Many skeptics argue that this is sufficient reason for tossing it out the window," end quote. Science hasn't tossed prayer, quote-unquote, out the window. But those who wish for science to embrace the miraculous power of prayer as a scientifically proven fact must provide experimental evidence so convincing that even the quote-unquote hard-boiled skeptics can't poke holes in it. We can't bend the rules and make it easy. And when that day finally comes, if it ever does, that's the day that our science books should be updated to include chapters on the miraculous power of prayer. Well, those were my five sound bites that I submitted to NBC for the program. And the producer, Liz Fisher is her name, told me that she actually agreed with what I had to say. And she told me that the correspondent on the case, Dennis Murphy, agreed as well. Frankly, given my experience with TV producers, I suspect that that's precisely why they ultimately decided not to use me on the show. The reason she actually gave was that NBC didn't want to incur the expense of flying a film crew down to Florida to interview me when they could interview someone else in California where they would shortly be going for other reasons. So anyway, when the show aired, except for a few words from Dr. Wallace Sampson, whom they did interview in California, he's now the editor of the Scientific Review of Alternative Medicine, except for his few words, you'd have thought that the story's writers and Dr. Dossi himself had found no shortcomings at all in Dr. Bird's study. For instance, neither Dennis Murphy nor Dossi even hinted that within Dossi's own book, well, look Dossi in the eyes menacingly, it says right here. But there was no hint that within his own book, Dossi says that Bird's study had actually, quote, missed the mark. Statistically significant life or death effects simply did not occur, end quote. The show, this prayer segment aired on the Now program a few days before Easter, the pre-Easter week of 1994. And obviously the way they did it, it was intended not to be even neutral, much less skeptical. It was clearly meant to be inspirational. And, you know, that's just the way it goes. But even though they didn't use me for the show, my time hadn't been entirely wasted. I got a free book out of it, and I had the opportunity to review the book for Skeptical Inquirer magazine. And also, I enjoyed even more reviewing the TV show in the pages of Free Inquiry in a little article that I called NBC's Cynically Skewed Reporting on the Power of Prayer. By the way, all the articles that I've ever had published, for what they're worth, are accessible on my website. If anyone's interested, you can just go to Yahoo and do a search for Gary Posner, and my homepage comes up number one on the list. And then you can just click prayer if you want and go to my prayer-related articles. As we heard a little while ago, more recently, a group at the Mid-America Heart Institute in Kansas City, headed by Dr. William Harris, and here's his study again. I'm sorry about the back row. You probably can't read the fine print at the bottom, but this is from the Archives of Internal Medicine, October 1999. The Harris study set out to replicate Dr. Bird's findings. Dr. Bird's study was really the first of the modern era to purport to scientifically demonstrate the power of prayer to the Judeo-Christian God. And Dr. Harris's was the second, and they set out to replicate Dr. Bird's findings with regard to the efficacy of remote prayer, intercessory prayer, in helping the hospital course of patients in the coronary care unit. And their study purported to reinforce Dr. Bird's findings, but I submit that although they were indeed able to replicate Dr. Bird's negative findings, they in fact failed to replicate his positive findings. For example, as I mentioned in my critique of the study, which appeared in the Scientific Review of Alternative Medicine, spring-summer 2000. With regard to the matter of quote-unquote speedy recovery, just as in Dr. Bird's study, the Harris Group found no statistically significant differences in the length of CCU stay, total days hospitalized, or even in the number of deaths between the prayed-for patients and the control patients. So Harris was able to replicate Dr. Bird's most clinically relevant negative findings. But as for Dr. Bird's specific positive findings, those slight 5 to 7 or so % reductions in those 6 interrelated complications that I mentioned earlier, Harris, unlike Dr. Bird, found no statistically significant differences with regard to any of them. Furthermore, Dr. Bird had also employed a general scoring system to classify a patient's hospital course in broad terms as having been good, intermediate, or bad. And he had reported that 12% more of the prayed-for patients and 8% fewer of the prayed-for patients, 12% more of his prayed-for patients had had a good hospital course, and 8% fewer of his prayed-for patients had had a bad hospital course, as compared to his control patients. That was the original Dr. Bird findings. But when the Harris group subjected its own data to Dr. Bird's scoring system, to his good, intermediate, bad scoring system, they found no statistical significance, no significant difference between their prayed-for patients and their control patients. Thus, I submit that with respect to Dr. Bird's positive data, the Harris study was not able to replicate any of it. In spite of that, the Harris study nonetheless claims that, quote, our findings support Bird's conclusions, end quote, with regard to the apparent medical efficacy of distant intercessory prayer. How were they able to make that claim? Well, even though their data had failed Dr. Bird's good, intermediate, bad tests for significance, the Harris group had also employed a general scoring system of their own, which at their request had, before the data was collected, they had developed a separate system. Actually, they had 4 colleagues associated with their hospital but unassociated with their study come up with this independent scoring system. And using that system, Harris's prayed-for patients as a whole reportedly did 11% better overall than the control patients during their hospital course at the p equals 0.04 significance level, meaning that even if their study had been designed and carried out absolutely flawlessly in every conceivable way, there was still a 4% or 1 in 25 probability that this rather small 11% difference in overall hospital course could be attributable to chance alone. Just as I don't claim to be an expert in prayer or in religion or in anything, really, I make no claims to being an expert. I'm certainly not an expert in statistics. But to place that 4% figure in context, when my skeptical colleagues and I endeavor to test someone who claims psychic abilities, such as ESP or whatever, when we try to devise a test where we can know in advance what the mathematical probability is for success by chance alone, we try to devise a test where the probability is 1 in a million as opposed to 4% or 1 in 25. For example, if we were to cut a deck of cards roughly in half, so there were 25 cards left, and have someone pick a card and have the purported psychic determine what card was going to be picked, even if that person was correct, though we'd be surprised and certainly interested in conducting follow-up tests, we wouldn't, I don't think, seriously at that point entertain the likelihood that a supernatural or paranormal feat had just been demonstrated. That P equals 0.04 significance level is just not sufficiently rigorous to inspire that kind of confidence that a miracle as opposed to a chance occurrence had taken place. But I know that Dr. Dossi and others argue that there are hundreds of impressive studies in the literature which, when taken as a whole, demonstrate overwhelmingly, at least to anyone with an open mind, that people are indeed capable of feats of this sort, capable of influencing other living systems, human or animal, whatever, from a distance through some brain mechanism that is not understood by science but is nevertheless genuine. In Appendix 1 of his book, Healing Words, which was published in 1993, Dossi cites about 100 such studies at that time, of which, quote, 10 are unpublished doctoral dissertations, 2 are master's theses, and the rest are published primarily in parapsychology journals, end quote. But I would submit that most of those studies consist basically of strong believers, parapsychologists primarily, testing people who purport to be psychic and testing them under control conditions that are probably less than adequate. To cite one example in Healing Words, Dr. Dossi singles out for mention the late Olga Worrell, Worrell, W-O-R-R-A-L-L, who he calls, quote, unquote, a well-known psychic healer, who from a distance, using only the power of her mind, demonstrated an ability, okay, this is the real thing now. Time is running low, but I'm almost done. But in his book, he says that Olga Worrell was a well-known psychic healer who from a distance, using only the power of her mind, demonstrated an ability to quote unquote protect one of 2 samples of bacteria exposed to a toxic agent. The results, which were published in the 1980 parapsychology journal, parapsychology book, quote, showed that the protected bacteria indeed survived in greater numbers than the controls at levels of great statistical significance, end quote. Well, in addition to being published in that book, those results were also published in an authoritative journal, the Star Tabloid, which a friend of mine happened to see and mailed to me. So I picked up the phone and I called Olga Worrell on the phone. She and I were both living in Baltimore at the time. And when I introduced myself as a scientist who couldn't help but be a little bit skeptical of the claims contained in that article, she said to me verbatim, and I still have my notes of that conversation, quote, well, you're not a true scientist then. A scientist is supposed to be inquiring, but not with skepticism. End quote. Apparently, some of you, I hope all of you here today, realize that the truth is quite the opposite of that. And given the experiences of former parapsychologist Susan Blackmore, psychic busters like James Randi, and others, such as Ray Hyman, I can't help but suspect that this less than skeptical approach by parapsychologists toward their supposedly psychic subjects is the rule rather than the exception. And if that is the case, the scientific value of those hundreds of studies cited by Dr. Dossi may be very, very iffy indeed. And like a house of cards, I suspect that they would all come tumbling down if subjected individually to the sort of critical scrutiny that we so-called hard-boiled or closed-minded skeptics generally employ when confronted with a supernatural claim. In conclusion, let me just say, as Dennis Miller always does at the end of one of his rants on his TV show, quote, of course, that's just my opinion. I could be wrong. Okay, thank you.
Just one statistical note, that 0.04 that he mentioned, significance, actually is not the correct statistic. In doing multiple tests, you have to correct for them. That 0.04 was calculated as if it were the only test they were doing. Technically, that's not right, and it wouldn't be considered significant at all. So there's no significance at all in that study. So I think because of the limited time we have left, we have a little more than 15 minutes left. I think we'll open it up right away to questions from the floor. Yeah.